After receiving applications from more than 500 young people, that's a lot of people, the Global Institute for Women's Leadership has selected 17 inspirational changemakers from a diverse range of backgrounds to join the Global Youth Committee from across Australia and the Asia Pacific, from all around, including four members from Perth. So out of 17 people, four folks coming from WA. Really, really exciting to see local youth activists Zara Al-Halali, Georgie Carey and Isabella Negus and Haseeb Riaz all nominated and succeed, sitting on the Global Institute for Women's Leadership's Global Youth Committee. This new committee is established by the Global Institute for Women's Leadership at the Australian National University, and it's bringing together 17 young leaders to look at the most pressing gender-based issues facing their generation. Zara Al-Halali is one of these young leaders. She currently acts as the CEO for Oak Tree Australia, the largest youth-run organisation in the country. She's also a Duke University Fellow working on the intersection of climate justice and faith-based practices. Alongside a range of other things, she's busy, she's booked, but she's made a little time to talk to us a little bit about this committee today, and she joins me on Brekkie. Good morning, Zara.
Good morning, Pam. Oh, goodness, you flatter me.
It's not hard to. There's a plethora of things that I could dip into. That's just skimming the surface. You're obviously a fantastically engaged young person, and you are out and about trying to change the world for the better. And this committee, hopefully, is going to be a great example of that. So congratulations again on, you know, being elected to sit on this wonderful committee.
Oh, thank you so much. It's honestly such a privilege, and I usually follow the notion that you can't be what you can't see. So it's great to see a great diversity of different advocates have their voices amplified within this committee.
Why did you want to be a part of this committee in the first place? What drove you to apply?
Yeah, great question, Pam. And look, like anyone who looks at me, they'll see that I wear the hijab. And usually within discussions of gender equality, we usually take out faith, we usually take out cultural diversity. But I do think that there is that missing facet of recognising faith and diversity of one's culture to intertwine greatly within gender equality. So I really wanted to, you know, possibly transform some of these conversations to be a bit more meaningful and to be a bit more intentional, especially given that Australia is one of the most diverse countries in the world. So I'd love to especially discuss concepts of gender equality that aren't traditionally explored within the country today. And I think that this committee will be the greatest place to do so.
Can you tell us a little bit about the goals of the committee? I know you haven't gathered all together just yet, but going into it, what are the sort of messages and the goals that are, you know, front of mind for this committee?
Yeah, we're actually meeting in the next fortnight, which would be wonderful to postpone this so I can get through a bit of the goals a bit more thoroughly. But in all honesty, to myself, look, discourse and storytelling is the most powerful tool for transformative change. And when we look at this committee, what I think that it essentially does is that it provides an avenue and a platform for young people to come together and to rather look at gender equality not from a broad lens, but to dig deeper and to explore the multiple different facets and avenues of gender equality across different development goals. And what I specifically mean by that is, for example, we have issues that are currently major within the country, like migration, climate change, agriculture, sports. I mean, recently with the Women's World Cup. And we've really failed to bridge an intersection with gender equality. And what I find so profound about this committee is that we're really able to bridge and interconnect gender equality with a multitude of different issues that are occurring in this country. So ultimately, I think storytelling will do that, but I also think that it will provide young people with a lens of being able to advocate for policy and advocacy change with key decision makers that aren't just governments, but also different decision makers from private sector to philanthropy to civil society, to have young people's voices included. Because as we all know, young people are the leaders of today, not the leaders of tomorrow. And we should also have a say in some of the decisions that will shape our future.
You touch on what I was going to ask you about, which is why is it important that young people's voices are central here? Why is it important that a committee like this exists to put young people's voices at the front of the conversation?
Yeah, Pam, look, I've worked with thousands of young people globally, and what I find so remarkable in young people is that they are already leading grassroots change. A lot of young people already have their own established projects, are advocating on their own, have their own lived experience to be able and have been able to create a change. And what I think this committee does so fabulously is that it recognises the power of young people to drive innovation, but to also validate their voices in these spaces, because traditionally young people have been excluded from decision-making processes merely due to their age. So I love the fact that this committee really removes the barriers of age to recognise young people as key stakeholders and key decision-makers in processes that will affect our life. And as we know, gender equality doesn't discriminate to one age. Gender equality discriminates to all. Men, women, non-binary folks, it discriminates to all. Until we have equality for all, we have equality for no one.
When people are thinking about gender equality and they're thinking about feminism, I think it can be quite a strange topic to get into. I think it can be quite, overwhelming or alienating, often if you don't already know about it. For people who want to engage in issues that are affecting young people, who want to learn a little bit more about feminism from young folks, intersectional feminism, feminism that exists today, where would you suggest somebody start?
Yeah, look, I think a great person to really shout out here is the chair of the Global Youth Committee, Chanel Contos, who is doing absolutely brilliant things. Her new book, Consent Laid Bare, highlights and touches on incredible issues of gender equality, consent, feminism, and I think that that would be a great place to recognize the power of young people driving change. Chanel has been an absolute trailblazer for young people's participation within gender equality processes, and I think her book within itself acts as the new stepping stone to creating intergenerational waves of change. So her book's out now, and I'd recommend buying it because it certainly has left a mark on myself as well.
You'll see a youth summit happen in October. I'm sure that the Global Youth Committee will be a part of that summit, and it'll be exciting to hear those conversations. But post-summit, and as you get together more often with this committee, what kind of tangible results are you hoping come from the gathering of all these different voices?
Yeah, look, I think that there are two key facets, and I think the first one is better engaging young people within Australian discussions of advocacy and policy for gender equality, because, you know, as much as this council is transformative, we must also remember that there are young people being left behind who are not partaking in opportunities like this to recognise why gender equality is a pivotal discussion that must be had. So I think just trying to work on engaging as many young people as possible in discussions like this will truly be our greatest step to creating a intergenerational wave that disrupts gender inequality within our demographic. But I also think the second one is working with key stakeholders to transform young people's voices within current advocacy and policy matters. And this isn't just, for example, restricted to national plans of gender-based violence, but I think in key areas like climate justice, in key areas like sports and participation. I mean, we have the next Olympics coming up next year, so I'd love to see how we can better incorporate more diverse participation of young women, adolescent girls within avenues such as sport. So I guess there are a multitude of different things that I'd like to focus on, but I think the key one would really just be to see a cultural shift, both in policy and advocacy, but also for different demographics that don't see themselves represented in these discussions of gender equality.
I think it's really exciting that all of this is happening. These conversations are essential and encouraging. So it's really, really wonderful to hear about all the work that is happening, but will happen too, and exciting to hear about what those results might be. Zahra Al-Hilali, thank you so much for joining me on Brekkie. We'll have to catch up when, you know, some more things are happening and hear about how those conversations are going on this committee.
Thanks so much, Pam. It's always a pleasure.
Azara Al-Hilali, a member of the Global Youth Committee, working with the Global Institute for Women's Leadership. You can keep up with this committee and with what's going on with the Global Institute for Women's Leadership by jumping on giwl.anu.edu.au. And Zara's profile is up there. You can see who else has been uploaded to the committee. Four WA members making it up there, names that you'd be familiar with, alongside Zara, Georgie Carey, Isabella Negus, and Haseeb Riaz. You can read about all the incredible work they've done and what they hope to discuss by jumping on that website. An absolute pleasure to get to chat to Zara Al-Hilali this Wednesday morning.